Romans chapter 8. Now, in this, Romans chapter 8 was the first chapter in the Bible that I ever read. Did I ever tell you that? I don't know if I told you that or not. But I read Romans chapter 8, and it was a King James version. And I read that chapter, I'll bet you 25 times. And I was listening to a tape series. I mean, I was newly saved. And I was listening to a tape series on a cassette tape. You know, you remember cassettes? It's not that long ago. It wasn't an 8-track anyway, but cassettes. And I had found a tape recorder, and it was at that time, it was a pretty small one. It was only about like 8 inches by 4 inches or something like that. And so the problem was that you had to put batteries into that thing. And so you had to constantly be buying batteries. They didn't have rechargeables like we use in the battery packs and stuff. So you had to go and buy the batteries, and they would last a little while. And I think there were 9-volt batteries, so they were a little more expensive. Anyway, I went through so many batteries with that, and there was no cord for it. But I listened and listened and listened and listened to those tapes, and it was dealing with Romans chapter 8, and I read the chapter over and over. I love this chapter. Okay, just so you know, I do. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 1, and here it is. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death." You see that? So there are two laws that are at work. First off, he said there shouldn't be any condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. That's important. If you ever feel condemnation in your life, understand, God does not give condemnation. Let's talk about the difference between condemnation and what the Lord does bring. And the Lord brings, here's what he brings, conviction. That's part of the job of the Holy Spirit, is to convict or convince, the King James said. There's a little footnote there in the Gospel of John. But convict. So he will convict. Who comes to condemn? Come on, who? Yeah, the accuser, the devil. Sure. The traducer, the seducer. That's what he is. So what he does is he comes to condemn you. Condemnation comes to a person in this form. Condemnation always says, "Oh boy, did you blow it this time? You sinned big time, and you know it." And you're going, "Yeah, yeah." And, you know, you better stay away from church, because everybody there will, number one, they'll know it. And number two, you'll just show yourself to be like that, the proverbial sore thumb. You'll stick out like a sore thumb. And, you know, you need to do some time for what you have done. And you need to feel guilty about it. And you certainly don't need to hang around with all those holy people right now, because they don't do the things you do. You've sinned, and there's just no hope for you. That's what condemnation says. Condemnation says there's no way out. Conviction, on the other hand, when the Holy Spirit convicts, what does he say? Okay. He's not going to say, "Well, you know, you kind of made a bad choice there." No, he'll say, "You sinned. You transgressed. You sinned. You blew it." And you'll know it when you do. How many of y'all know it if you sin? If you don't, we'll have a little talk afterwards. So you know when you sin. You know when you've blown it. You know when you have missed the mark. Of course, the word sin means to miss the mark. It's an archery term. When you don't get a bullseye, it's called a sin. So you sinned. You missed the target. You missed the bullseye, if you will. When the Holy Spirit says you've sinned and convicts you, you feel that, oh man. And what do you want to do? You want to get free of that feeling, right? When the Holy Spirit convicts, he says, "Okay, you did, but here's the way back into fellowship. Here's the way back into fellowship." The Bible says to confess your sin, does it not? That was written to Christians, you guys. 1 John was written to believers. It's not written to sinners. Notice it didn't say to repent. It said to confess your sin. The new man was temporarily overridden by the old man. That's what happened. That's why you need to make the conscious choice to realign yourself with the Word of God. In the spiritual realm, in heavenly places where you and I are seated with Christ, you're cleansed. You are forgiven. You're washed in the blood. Sure, you are. But right here in the natural, don't tell me you can't fall into sin from time to time, because you do. Well, that was a heavy amen right there. Ever since I stood up here tonight, it felt like something is tickling me right here. And it's nothing. There's nothing there, you know. You guys haven't lived until you've stood up in front of people and your nose starts itching you, you know. You guys are a tough crowd tonight. I love you anyway. But notice in verse 2 what it says about there being two laws. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of sin and death. It's pretty simple what comes underneath the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Salvation, right? How about health and well-being and even healing if you need it? How about provision, right? What about peace? What about love? Sure. What about joy? You could go down the list of the fruit of the Spirit out of Galatians chapter 5 and see what falls underneath this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's only good. It's all good stuff. It's all good things. But then you have the opposite law at work, and that's called the law of sin and death. And they will be diametrically opposed to everything that's on that list of what's underneath that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Salvation, eternal death. Health and well-being, sickness and disease under the law of condemnation. The law of, so you have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of sin and death, okay. Which is condemnation as part of the law of sin and death, by the way. So there are two major laws at work. The new man wants to and will line up with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The old man constantly wants to go back to that old way. When you were saved, old things became new, right? I believe the Greek reads there, you became, or in your case, whether you're a female or a male, you became a new man or a new woman. And all of the old past passed away. You became something that never existed before. Brand spanking new. Thank you, Lord. You know, when you hear that term, brand spanking new, you know where that came from, right? When a baby was born, it would whack. Okay. Yeah, like I say, you guys are real tough tonight. That's all right. That wasn't funny, Pastor Dan. I wasn't trying to be funny. I'm just giving you a little information in case you hadn't thought of that. But brand spanking new, a new child in the Lord. Old things passed away. You became something that never existed before. But the old nature still wants to come back and control things. Have you ever noticed that? What, you know, the Word tells us very explicitly that we are to renew our minds and think in line with this. That's why you need to hear it. And you need to hear it. And you need to hear it over and over and over again. And you don't say, well, I read the Bible one time through. It's not a novel. You know, I saw the series. No, that's not the way this works. Well, I listened on tape, and Ephraim Zimbalist read the whole thing. Well, he was a good guy, but that's fine, and that you may be doing that right now. That's good, but this is something you need to all the time continue therein. So you have to renew your mind.
And that is one of the biggest problems people face, because there's all this other stuff out there that tries to pull your attention away from the things of God and bring the old man back into control. Now, go to Colossians chapter 3, and we are going to focus in on a portion of scripture here. Colossians chapter 3, and beginning there in verse number 1, if you then were raised with Christ, now what does that mean? Well, you identified with him when you received him. You identified with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So if you were raised with him, desire those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. And you are placed there in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you're supposed to have your desire set on those things. Look at verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Well, there you go. The Greek literally says set and keep it set. Set your mind and keep it set on the things of God. Now, that doesn't happen by chance. That doesn't happen by getting up in the morning and giving everything else time and not the Word of God. That's why when you get up in the morning, I'm not saying you shouldn't have some tea or coffee or whatever, you know, that kind of thing, juice, whatever you drink, and have a little something to eat, but give some time to the Word. Get your instructions for the day. Get your tank filled before you head out on the highway. We went to Oklahoma City yesterday, and, I mean, the gas, you know, most new cars will tell you how many miles you have until you're empty. I've been tempted a few times to just keep driving until it stops, just to see how accurate that thing is, you know. I always chicken out and put gas in it. But anyway, so we had 91 miles before we needed to fill up. And so Austin went with us. He was our driver. And so he got us there pretty fast, too, actually. I said, you know, keep it, you know what I said. Anyway, so before we headed out, we checked. You don't head to Oklahoma City with 2 gallons of gas in the car unless your car gets 40 miles a gallon. And some of yours may, I don't know, but ours doesn't. And we had enough for 91 miles, and we got filled up when we were in the city then. But you don't head out into your day in the morning and you haven't spent any time with the Lord, received any instructions for your day. Get quiet. Don't do all the talking. Get quiet and listen to him. Kids, this goes for you too. You need to have some time in your Bibles every morning. Start your day off reading in the Word. Start your day off with a devotion of some sort. There are kids' devotions. We have some devotions in the back that Erica wrote. We have some for moms. We have some things that you know. Anne is going over for her devotion right now. What are you doing? Where are those from? From last year? Sermons that I preached. Her notes, not my sermon notes. Her notes on my sermons. She doesn't have access to my sermon. No. She does, actually, if she wants. But she's going over her notes and rereading the scriptures and looking all them up and spending time remembering these things that she was taught. And it's an easy way to have a devotion. I mean, I've done so many different devotions through the years. All of Brother Hagin's, all of Brother Copeland's, the Smith Wigglesworth devotion, Rick Renner's Gems, Jonathan Kahn's. I've done so many different ones through the years, you know. Not to mention reading through the Bible, which this is part of what we do as believers. You're not going to learn the Word if you only give a little bit of attention to it. You'll be one of those A, B, C, J, F, G people. Yeah, yeah. You won't know it. So here, set your mind and keep it set on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? You're dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. At least you're supposed to consider your body as dead. How many of y'all know your body's not dead? And neither are those carnal things that try to come and creep back in. The enemy tempts, and he uses the mind gate. He'll tempt you through your thoughts. And it may not be something just obvious, You know, but anything that pulls you away from the Lord, you say, well, that's my job, so I better quit it. No, 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 hold it, hold it. don't do that. Amen. You spend time, and then you go and you work, and the Word has something to say about giving a full day for a full wage as well. And that's scriptural. But, you know, here it is. Here's it's laid out here. You are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death the parts of your earthly nature. And now he begins to list them off. You see this here in verse number 5? Sexual immorality. That was a big problem there in Bible days. And how many of y'all know it's still a big problem today? Yeah. Sexual immorality, uncleanness, that covers every other area of promiscuity and all that kind of stuff. Inordinate affection, there's the same-sex marriage garbage that's going on and all that. It's not biblical. Evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. You also once walked in these when you lived in them, but now you must also put away all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another. Well, this is a laundry list of things you're not supposed to do. Since you have put off the old nature with its deeds and have embraced the new nature, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created it, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, or slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now just stop right there for a minute. This is the old man. This is what we have to guard against, is putting on the old man. So I'm just going to do a little illustration tonight. This was a nice shirt at one time. I feel like putting on the old man today. You want to come closer? I didn't think so. Ooh! I asked Glenn if I could have a shirt filled with manure, and he said I have one. I'm not filled with manure. Let me back up. Had stuff on it, yeah. This, by the way, is not manure. Okay? What is it? That's like sweet smelling. It's nice. Now listen to me. Putting on the old man when you do, oh yeah, you make a choice to put the old man on. You make a choice to turn aside from what you know is right, from the right way to walk according to the word, and you let it all hang out. So when you put the old man on, now if we really wanted to make this an effective illustration, there would be manure splattered all over here. Or, you know, hog stuff, you know what I'm saying? Hi, I have turkeys out at the house. If y'all have ever been around turkeys, oh, yay, yay, yay. But how many of y'all know that in the nostrils of God, sin stinks? So I put on the old man. Woo, look at that woman. I would tell you and start lying. Acting hateful toward people. All of this stuff that we're seeing out in the streets right now, all this hatred, all this violence, all this stuff, a lot of those folks are not born again, okay? But I will guarantee you, as sure as I'm standing here, there are some born again people out there walking in hatred and allowing it to happen. All different colors. But the fact is, when you put on the old man, you start acting like the old man. You get what the old man got. And the wage of sin is death. Some people like to put the old man on. They put on the old man. And I'm telling you, this is done on purpose. Albeit somebody will think, well, I don't know how I got there and I don't know how I did that. Well, at some point you made a choice to do what you did. My arm just slipped into the jacket somehow. You know? I mean, like the kid that gets caught with his hand in the cookie jar. Wait a minute. How did your hand get in there? How did you? It just went in there somehow, right? Yeah, right. It's just like the Christian who can't figure out how they've arrived where they're at, and all along they've made choices and put the word down and quenched the conviction of the Holy Spirit regarding that kind of activity and just continued to put the old man on. So what do we do when we come into that place where we recognize, hey, I've sinned. I've put the old man on. I started talking like a man who's not redeemed. I started acting and thinking like a person who doesn't know Christ. I allowed myself to walk in judgment toward that individual, or I walked totally out of love toward that one. You recognize it. Somebody read me 1 John 1, verse 9. Who has it? Well, I can quote it, but I want you to read. In fact, everybody turn there. Hold your place here in Colossians. Hold your place in Colossians. Go to 1 John 1, verse 9. Look at it. And it reads this way. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of what? All unrighteousness. Oh, I have missed it. I repent, Father. I confess. Forgive me. Okay? Now, that's taking the old man off, putting the old man off again. And the old man then should just be cast aside. And you're going along good. Everything's cool. You're spending more time with God. You're spending more time in prayer. You're spending more time in the things of the Word. You're listening to the Word. You're getting up in the morning. You're having some quiet time with the Lord, you're praying, and then in the day somewhere, something comes up. Something tempts you to be angry. Something tempts you to do something that you know in your heart you shouldn't do. And if you don't readily recognize it, you're liable to start reaching for, where's that coat? Where's that? And you don't. No good Christian goes, man, where's the old man? I want to put the old man on again. Although there are, I suppose, some. Well, there's always grace, don't you know? And that's a misappropriation of what the word says about grace, of course. But if you're not careful, you can slip back into old lifestyles, old ways of thinking. What are you putting before your eyes every day? What are you giving your time to? Have you let the Holy Spirit do some house cleaning in your life? I mean, I'm not asking you for an answer, but I'm asking you to go before the Lord and say, Lord, are there some things that I have allowed in my life that you don't like and you don't want there? And are you just kind of, oh, well, you know, I'm doing my thing, and yet I'm going to hold on to this. I'm going to hold on to this area. All the while, you got one arm in the old man jacket. And then you're trying to pray the rights, the covenant rights of the new man. And it doesn't work that way. You have to abandon these things, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. With God in Christ. Now, I want you to hold your place here for a moment and go over to Romans chapter 6. So hold your place in Colossians 3, and go to Romans 6. Because I know I had you go to 1 John 1, but abandon that one and go back and leave a marker in Colossians 3. Romans 6. Now, I'm telling you, you are in Christ, supposed to be dead. You're supposed to put the things of the flesh down. You know, this is really a battle that goes on, and Paul even addresses it. And he talks about the thing that I wouldn't do, I end up doing. The thing that I want to do, remember how he puts it? The thing I know I shouldn't do, I end up doing. And the things that I should do, I don't. That's every one of us from time to time. And it's not that you don't have the ability to say no to sin, because you do. Do you realize you have authority over the devil? Who's the one who presents the temptation? Who's the one who presents? You guys are really quiet tonight. It's okay. Who's the one that presents the temptation? Well, of course it's the enemy. Part of his nature is to seduce. He's a traducer. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. John 8, Jesus said it. He's a liar. He throws up the stuff from the past in your face. He's trying to pull you back into that old walk. And you are commanded to put off the old man, because in the spirit, you're alive, seated in heavenly places in Christ, but your body still has this old nature that tries to resurrect all the time. Look at chapter 6. Look at verse 11. So, I mean, you can read it all in context if you like, but I'm jumping to 11 right now just for the sake of time. Likewise, you also consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not let. You see those three words? I know this is, what version am I reading tonight? This is the modern English version. Do not let. Do not let. I mean, we can stop right there. Do not let sin reign. What does that indicate to you? There's a choice. You don't have to let it. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Do not yield your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. You remember that? The Greek reads weapons. Don't let the enemy use your members as weapons of unrighteousness, but yield yourselves to God as those, you see that? As those who are alive from the dead. Yield yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your bodies to God as instruments or weapons of righteousness. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Now, you have to treat your body as if it's dead. The fact of the matter is, it's not. It's not. In Christ, it's been dealt with, and you have authority. But what's the control center here? The mind. You're either going to go with the flow of what you're hearing, and your mind's either going to agree with what's coming up out of your spirit, or your mind's going to agree with what you're looking at and the temptations that are coming at your ears. That's why you have to renew your mind, so you recognize the difference, so you recognize conviction versus condemnation, so that you recognize the works that are underneath the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the temptations of the law of sin and death. You have to recognize it. Recognition comes through repetition. Do you hear me? Recognition comes through repetition. And it's your choice whether you yield to sin or resist it. So you have authority over the devil, and people are real quick to say, yeah, we have authority over sickness and disease. We have authority over poverty. Yes, amen, 1,000 times over. In the name of Jesus, yes, you do. You are to be more than conquerors in Christ. What's the problem? You have authority over sin. Because if you have authority over the devil, you have authority over his temptations too. You just have to recognize them and shoot them down like Jesus did when he was in the wilderness. How did he deal with temptations? If you're really the Son of God, turn those stones into bread. You're hungry, remember? Jesus used the book of Deuteronomy. You realize that? He quoted the Old Testament at the devil, and the devil had to flee. Well, you and I, in the name of Jesus, when we recognize it, we can say to the enemy, say, in the name of Jesus, you can tell the devil. You don't tell people to shut up, but you can tell the devil to shut up. So I say that for all of our younger people's sake in here tonight. You can. So parents, you maybe need to have that talk with the children, because you don't run around using, you know, shut up, and you start telling people to shut up. You don't do that. There's one who you need to keep under your foot, and you need to treat with great disdain. That means that, you know, you're angry, okay? And that's the devil. Devil, you shut up. You're not going to talk to me like that in the name of Jesus. Jesus put it this way. He suffered not the devils to speak. I believe it's in Mark chapter 1, verse 34. He suffered them not. Literally what it meant was he told them to shut their mouths. You don't talk polite to the devil. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Devil. Oh, please, Mr. No. You have authority over him. He's to be under your feet. You don't play games with him. You take authority over him. You exercise the authority that you have. You recognize when the temptation is coming for you to put on that old jacket again. Put on that old man. Becomes easy to think that old way, you know. Now, if you're not spending time in the Word, don't think you're going to stay at a maturity level that you have reached if you don't continue therein. What happens when you start to slide back away from the Word of God? That is called what? Backsliding. That's pretty simple. And that happens when you, by choice, choose to not get into the Word, not spend time with God. I just don't get it. If a person wants to stay strong in the things of God, why they would avoid the Word of God? Does that make sense to you? I mean, so recognize when you've slipped an arm into the old man's jacket again. And I don't mean your dad's, Austin. Go back to Colossians 3 and we'll close. Colossians 3. So, what are we supposed to be putting on? Okay, you put off the old man and you put on the new. Verse 12 goes in, he says this, so embrace as the elect of God, holy and beloved, a spirit of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a quarrel against anyone, even as Christ forgave you, so must you do. And above all these things, embrace love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God, to which also you were called in one body, rule in your hearts and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So he tells you what you're supposed to put on. Did you know this life is a put on? It's a put on. You're a put on. You better believe it. I put it on every day. We talk about putting on the armor of God, right? Y'all have heard that before. You know, put on your helmet. Got my helmet on. Gird up your loins. I'm not going to show you that. But anyway, put on your shoes. Put on the breastplate. You know, I mean, golly, get going. Get on it. Grab your sword. Pick up your shield. Now, I mean, I don't do that in the respect of, I think, okay, let's say I'm picking up my shield now. I got my word. You know, I'm picking up my faith. I've got the sword. I've got the word. So I'm putting on this, you know, I'm thinking about the Lord. The peace of Christ is good. I don't do that in that respect. I do it every day, but I don't go through the pieces of armor. You know what I'm saying? If you do, I'm not condemning you. Seriously, if you like to do that, praise God. If that's the way you apply the word in your life and remember how to be walking in those things, thank you, Lord. It's okay. But I choose every day. I start my day with the word of God. Can I hear an amen? And that shouldn't be the one time all day that you look at the Word or think about the Lord. One of the things Smith Wigglesworth said, and I think this is wonderful. You know, somebody said, well, how much praying do you pray? And he didn't pray a lot for extended periods of time throughout the day. He just never went more than 10 minutes without praying. And if you're doing that all day long, he should be right. He's as close as the mention of his name. You know, I mean, it ought to be that he is first and foremost. Did that please the Lord? Did that thought you just let come into your brain, did that please God? Is that God? Judge it. Did the way I just reacted to that person on the road, was that godly? Is the way I feel about this situation or that situation from the Lord, or is that flesh and the devil is pushing the buttons to try to get me to go a direction I shouldn't go? It's every one of us. We all have to deal with it. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So the answer to all this hatred that's being spewed out there right now, I mean, there's a lot on both sides of the coin, you know, and Christians need to not enter into that stuff. I feel very strongly about being a doer of the word, being a person who's going to, and that's why I struggle a bit understanding all of this stuff, because Christians have no business being racist on whatever color a person's skin is. You don't have any business even considering it. I do not consider people's skin. I don't. I was not raised that way. I don't care if you were. You need to change if you have, you know, that mindset.
Yeah, but you don't know. You don't know.
No, look. That's not Christ. What did we just read? You remember back there where it said, I'm going to read it again to you, and we're going to stay here till I find it. Amen. Neither bond nor free. You remember that? Was that in Romans? 3:11? Yeah, you're right. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision. Now, let's just back up. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old nature, this is verse 9, with its deeds, and have embraced the new nature, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created it. Okay, now this is in Christ. There's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. There should be none of those differentiations, if you will, based on, you know, your background, your nationality, the color of your skin, your income level, your education level. Oh, hey, don't think that there's not racism concerning education alive and well in Stillwater, Oklahoma. You don't have a degree in thus and such. No, but I can find my way to Walmart. Paul was a highly, highly educated man. Peter was a fisherman. He had both ends of the gamut, if you will. Both ends of the spectrum. One highly educated, one uneducated. But what was the comment made in the book of Acts? You could tell they had been with Jesus. It's amazing how the Lord can give you wisdom beyond anything you can pick up in a book. Now, the book you need to be picking it up from, of course, is the Bible. Amen? And I'm not coming down on education. We have some people with advanced degrees in this congregation. We have some people that don't have degrees. Bottom line is, in Christ, we're all equal. There are some that have six-figure salaries, and there are some that don't make very much money at all. That is not the determining factor of what makes a person good in the eyes of God. It all comes down to the blood, doesn't it? Are you washed in the blood? Are you born again? Now, I would suggest that you get your mind renewed with the Word of God, and in that, you'll get a great education of how to conduct your life in Christ. And you can learn. And you can. Smith Wigglesworth didn't even know how to read. God taught him how to read the Bible.
Amen. So please, let your Christianity show to others and don't fall into the pattern the world wants you to fall into. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Stand to your feet, please. Thank you, Lord, and by all means, keep the old man off. Amen? Amen. How do you get the old man off? You confess your sin before the Lord. And, again, homologeo, the word for confess in Greek means to come back into line, get back in line with. In other words, get back in line with what the new man is supposed to be doing. Acknowledge it. The old, this is the way it's put, very simple. Admit it and quit it. People walking around, I don't have any sin in my life. You just sinned. You just did. You're lying, man. You are lying like a rug, man. Like a rug. Yeah. See, this rug is lying on the floor. Amen. Come on, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you and praise you tonight. We give you glory tonight for your goodness. We thank you that we recognize the old man and his deeds. We recognize when the temptation is arising to pull us over into an area that you don't want us to be involved in, sir. And so I thank you in advance, Father, for all the good things that you're doing in our lives, will do in our lives. Thank you, Lord God, that we choose again, over and over and over again, to stay in line with the word of God, to stay in line with your will, to do what you say to do, to build up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, doing those things that are pleasing in your sight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you tonight and praise you tonight. In the name of Jesus. If y'all can agree, come on, say amen.